Labor unions have been among the most consistent critics of the Bush administration's domestic policies. Union leaders have complained about tax cuts they say favor the wealthy, trade deals they say cost U.S. jobs, and workplace rule changes they say will increase injuries. Now, organized labor is adding some new items to its list. NPR's Don Gagne reports from the White House.
Labor's latest beef is over a set of rules called contractor responsibility standards. They first took effect at the beginning of Bill Clinton's final year in office. Those rules said the government could not do business with companies convicted of breaking environmental or worker protection laws. President Bush suspended those contract standards 10 weeks after he took office and officially repealed them right after Christmas. Lynn Reinhart is with the AFL-CIO.
We're extremely disappointed at the Bush administration's decision to revoke the contractor responsibility rules that had been promulgated by the Clinton administration a year ago. Those rules were designed to try to make sure that the government does business with companies that comply with the law, with laws governing the workplace, with environmental protection laws, consumer protection laws, and a host of other laws.
The AFL-CIO says billions of dollars in federal contracts will now go to companies that violate health and safety laws. But the Bush administration defends the decision, saying the standards had, in effect, denied due process, preventing many companies from getting contracts even for technical violations or for mere accusations of wrongdoing. Those arguments rang true for Randall Johnson of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce.
In an effort to catch egregious violators, it in fact swept more broadly. It was like casting a net across an ocean to catch a few fish, and therefore became totally unwieldy and unworkable.
There are other disputes percolating between the Bush White House and the labor movement. One is the possible elimination of 10 regional offices of the Labor Department's Women's Bureau, an office created in the 1920s, providing aid, advice, and research relating to women in the workplace. Earlier, President Bush had eliminated a White House function known as the Office on Women's Initiatives and Outreach. It was created by President Clinton in 1995. Another flashpoint is the president's nomination of labor lawyer Eugene Scalia to be the U.S. Labor Department's Inspector General. Scalia, the son of Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia, was a vocal critic of workplace ergonomic regulations overturned by Congress with the president's blessing last year. Labor supported those rules, saying they required healthier workplace designs. Scalia called them a product of junk science. His confirmation to the Labor Department job has stalled in the Senate, but the White House has suggested it could appoint him to the job during the current congressional recess, allowing Scalia to serve a full year without being confirmed. The president, meanwhile, despite his differences with the labor movement, stresses that he has reached out to unions and that he's ready to work with them. On Labor Day, he attempted a Teamsters barbecue in Detroit.
And we listen. We listen, ours is an administration that answers the phone. We don't ask the question, how did you vote? We ask the question, what's on your mind? Is it good for America? And that's why we're working together on some key issues.
It is true that some unions have supported the president on some domestic issues. The Teamsters, for example, strongly support his proposal to drill for oil in Alaska's Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. But the AFL-CIO says the White House has not been nearly as ready to hear labor's ideas as past administrations, even those of Republicans, including the administration of the first President Bush. Don Gagne, NPR News, the White House.